Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to our Saturday movie workshop. And as it would happen, we have one of the all-time classic movies that will probably send chills down your spine with the miracles that you'll experience today, because this movie is so profound, it's so deep. For many years, as we were just developing our Movie Watchers Guide to Enlightenment, when people would ask me as I was traveling around the world, what movie would you recommend that I watch? And I would laugh and I'd say, well, there's so many great movies. You know, it's hard to make a recommendation of one movie. And then they'd say, well, what's your favorite movie of all time? And I'd say, oh, I can't pick. They're all so good, I can't pick a favorite movie. But for many years, I would tell people, if you were stranded on a desert island and you were in your last days and you had the choice of one movie to pick before you had to face the pearly gates of heaven, and you wanted to make sure you got through the gates and you didn't want to waste your one movie pick, I would pick this movie that we're showing today as the one movie. If you had one last request, this is what you want before you go to the angels. Because after this movie, you're prepared to go with the angels. You're ready to go into the light and without hesitation or reservation. So the movie is called Solaris. It originally was a Russian movie, and then it was remade into a sequel starring George Clooney. And this remake is the one we're going to be showing today. So you don't have to worry about your Russian language skills. We're going to show the English version with Spanish subtitles. And this film came out in 2002, so it goes back a ways. I've been doing a lot of traveling over these last two decades, so that's why I referred to this movie so often. So I'd also like to welcome all of our Spanish-speaking participants today. I think this is the first Saturday where we have more Spanish-speaking people than the other languages combined, the rest of the world. So we're very grateful to have you come and have a taste of our beautiful movie gatherings and workshops. And I can't think of a better movie to show you to help with healing all relationships, to clearing your memory from all the cobwebs of the past, and from opening your heart up to the holy instant, to the beautiful light of Christ and the light of God that is within us, that has just been covered over by ego beliefs and ego thoughts. So, for a number of you who are new, Pete gave you a little bit of an outline of how the day will go. And what we do every week is Kenneth puts out a list of movie topics. And then during the week, whether it's in Tribe or on Facebook, we have a Tribe voting going on for the themes that are most relevant for you, the themes that you most would like to have an experience of in a very direct way. So we have Tribe as an online community. We have people vote on themes in there. They vote on Facebook in Spanish and in English. And then we take the combined themes and we see which themes got the most vote and then pray on a movie. So this is how we arrive at the movie that we're all going to watch today. And I will just read you the themes that received the most votes. So these are themes that were voted on around the world that you would most likely to hear about and really be taken into an experience of a direct experience of the theme. So the theme that got the most votes was a line from A Course in Miracles: trust would settle every problem now. So that you can just let that sink in. Trust would settle every problem now. That this is truly a journey of trust. And that's why in the Manual for Teachers of A Course in Miracles, when we come back to the section on teachers of God, Jesus describes 10 characteristics of a teacher of God, and he says that all of the characteristics rest on trust. And he says, if trust goes, then the rest are gone too. So much for being honest or gentle or generous or open-minded, whatever characteristics you see there, it's like a bowling ball alley where you have to knock the pins over. The lead pin is trust, and then you have to hit that pin in order to hit the rest. And if your trust wavers, if you have fear and doubt, then you can forget about the rest. The rest is, if when all the rest go, it's like only human. That's right. The divinity is kind of covered over when there's not trust. So Jesus has a whole section called the development of trust, where he talks about 6 stages that you have to go through to reach enlightenment. And trust is a key one. So that's not surprising that would be the top poll vote getter. Trust would settle every problem now. Second theme, exchanging all time thoughts for this eternal holy instant. That's not a line in the course, but it's almost like Jesus got a hold of Ken and put 2 or 3 of the most important ideas into one sentence. And 73 votes. Survey says 73 votes. Third theme is learning to be prayerful in everything. So you might say, instead of thinking of prayer as an activity that you do on certain occasions or certain times when I find myself in times of trouble, down to the floor and on my knees. If you pray only when you really are in trouble, then that's not learning to be prayerful in everything. It's what I call pray without ceasing, where your heart is singing a song of gratitude and you're in alignment with God and you have surrendered all sense of a separate self over so that you're in constant prayer and you pray without ceasing. That was something that I always liked when I heard it the very first time, pray without ceasing. And now we know more about prayer. We know that it's beyond the words. The prayer is your desire of your heart. The prayer is the altar of your heart. So, you know, what Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, he said, you know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you put your desire, what you desire is given you, because that which is given is received. Everything that comes around goes around. What you call it, the law of giving and receiving, or any way you want to describe it, it all comes down to the power of the mind and the altar of the mind. So that's why Jesus said, "Let thine eye be single." He was telling us to be single in our prayer, single in our desire, single in our devotion. And in that sense, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Through that single desire, that's where we experienced ourselves as a perfect child of God. And then the fourth one is accepting the correction is my sole responsibility. And it was just this past week where I gathered with a lot of the Spanish-speaking audience, and the topic for the day was the correction of error. So here we are. You're now in the movie workshop. We're carrying on from that theme, and that's the fourth theme in the combined poll. Accepting the correction is my sole, my one responsibility. So when I think of this movie, some of you know recently I showed the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And in that, I quoted this very famous quote by Alexander Pope. And I thought, while I was doing that, I thought, yeah, there was another movie that has a very, very famous quote. And it's this one. This movie has a quote that's mentioned in the movie, and the quote is from Dylan Thomas. And the short version of the quote is, "Though lovers be lost, love shall not, and death shall have no dominion." And that's the short version. But I thought I would give you a treat and I would read you the whole thing just because it's so precious. And it sounds pretty intense. This is like an intense poem. But how have our experiences been on Earth? Anybody have intense experiences on planet Earth? I did. And I like it when a poem kind of captures the essence of the intensity, but also the sublime bliss of what is beyond the intensity. Beyond the dark night of the soul is the bliss, the paradise, the joy, the gratitude of the kingdom of heaven, of light and love. So this, I think this this poem fits this movie very well. And I'll just read it to you. It's by Dylan Thomas. And the title of it is called, "And Death Shall Have No Dominion." You know Jesus would love this. He was the way, the truth, and the life that showed us, demonstrated to us, that death has no dominion. dominion. And death shall have no dominion. Dead man naked they shall be one, with the man in the wind and the west moon. When their bones are picked clean and the clean bones gone, they shall have stars at elbow and foot. Though they go mad, they shall be sane. Though they sink through the sea, they shall rise again. Though lovers be lost, love shall not, and death shall have no dominion. And death shall have no dominion. Under the windings of the sea, they lying long shall not die windily. Twisting on racks when sinews give way, strapped to a wheel, yet they shall not break. Faith in their hands shall snap in two, and the unicorn evils run them through. Split all ends up, they shan't crack, and death shall have no dominion. And death shall have no dominion. No more may gulls cry at their ears, or waves break loud on the seashores. Where blue a flower, may a flower no more lift its head to the blows of the rain. Though they be mad and dead as nails, heads of the characters hammer through daisies, break in the sun till the sun breaks down, and death shall have no dominion. So what's exciting for me is today we're calling on Jesus and the Holy Spirit to take us through the temptations of the ego, beyond the darkness and all the shadows of this world, and we are joining to pierce the veil together and open our hearts to experience pure love. That is our prayer. What a great way to spend this Saturday, right? Piercing the veil of time and space and opening to the glory of God's love. I can't think of a better way to spend Saturday. And we're doing it with a movie that is kind of it's a mix between like futuristic space travel. Like we have so many good space travel movies in our Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment. And we're going to explore the topic of memory, a partial memory, and we're going to explore how the principle of all that I give is given to myself, and that the principle of giving and receiving are the same. We're going to do it through a journey, a space journey, in which a space station is kind of, we could say, marooned very close to a planet. And the planet's name is Solaris. If you break down the word Solaris, solar means light, and is means is. So Jesus is like, he's giving us preschool. Light is. And how does this relate to A Course in Miracles? Well, there is a part in the workbook of A Course in Miracles where Jesus says, we say God is, and then we cease to speak. In other words, Those are the last two words that ever needs to be spoken, because that God is a fact. And another way of saying God is light is. So I love the title of this movie. That is the main theme. That is the main topic that runs through the whole movie. Light is. And if light is, then what does that have to do with the human condition? Because the human condition is, we'll say, 7 billion individuals on planet Earth. And then, of course, we have the plants and the animals joining us, and the angels and all kinds of other beautiful fairies and creatures. Some of them we can see, some of them we can't see. But there's a lot of us on planet Earth, more than we know. It's heavily populated. And what does God is or light is have to do with the human condition? Well, I said before that the human condition and on planet Earth is about 7 billion individuals. And let's take a look at that word, individual, because what we consider to be an individual is an individual person. An individual person with private thoughts in a private mind, apart from all the other individuals. So this is definitely a tapestry of pieces, many different pieces, 7 billion separate pieces. And there's a word that I like to use in place of individual, because most of the times people will say that with pride. I am an individual. They're like proud of it. But I think a better word than individual, what we really want in our heart, is indivisible. Wouldn't it be great? How many indivisibles do we have here? Indivisible, not able to be broken apart. Indivisible, not able to be divided. Like the light, like Christ, one light, one mind, one heart. And this movie is really going to take us into looking at the fear of love, at the fear of light. The reason light could be reacted to with fear is only the ego reacts with fear to love and oneness. Oneness is just the most natural, essential experience there could ever be, because that's what heaven is. Heaven is pure oneness. And God is oneness, and Christ is oneness, the Holy Spirit. All of the Trinity are just symbols pointing to a one spirit that cannot be divided. It's an indivisible spirit. But the ego is petrified, is terrified of the light, because to the ego, separation is reality. To the ego, fragmentation is reality. And that's why we have separate everything in distorted perception. Specific images, specific people, places, things. Time and space are both very specific and are measured with different little increments. And human beings are part of this fragmented perception, so the humans get judged and measured as well by how old they are, or how tall or short they are, or what their skin color is. It's all part of fragmented perception. So this movie is going to be a parable. It's going to take us on a journey to come closer to the light that we truly are. And the way it's going to work is Chris Kelvin, who's played by George Clooney, he is a psychologist. And he's a psychologist on planet Earth. And He is being called in to an emergency rescue mission because some strange things, some strange, unexplainable things are happening at the space station that is near this planet called Solaris. This movie is going to be a journey into what I talk about all the time, that the problem is a perceptual problem. I know for years people have said, yeah, it sounds good, David, but I don't know what you mean. What do you mean it's a perceptual problem? Well, this movie is going to take us on a ride into the nature of perception, because Jesus is telling us what you believe is what you perceive. Jesus is always, he's telling us in the workbook that the thoughts that you think and the world that you think you see are the same, that there is no external world outside of your mind. You're thinking up the world, and the world is a motion picture of your thoughts. So if you don't like something in the world, that's Jesus says, change your thinking. And the ego says, nonsense, change the world. But if the world is just your thoughts, and you're just perceiving your thoughts always without exception, then it helps to have an experience to begin to see, oh, I'm just upset by my past thoughts. I'm just upset by these ego thoughts that I am believing real. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. Solaris is this planet where it's kind of got bright lights coming off of it, and it's kind of got like a purple haze with it. It's a cool planet. I would love to just live there in Solaris. In fact, I feel I do. I'm just getting light and purple coming from me every day. Oh, I got green on today, but somehow that happened. But it's just showing that all that I give is given to myself, that there is no problem with the world apart from the thinking that made the world. And if I'm willing to release the thinking, the ego thinking that made the world, then I'll see a whole different world. I'll see a world of reflected love. I'll see the world with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. So Chris Kelvin, he's a psychologist. He's going to be called into an emergency rescue mission because he has a friend who's on this space station named Jabarian, and there's other characters up there. Dr. Gordon, she's on board. There's a character called Snow. I think you're going to love Snow. He's a little neurotic, but he really speaks what's on his mind. And if he doesn't know the answer to something, he'll just say, exactly, or right. Imagine answering a question. You get a question, you just go, exactly. Because there's something happening on the space station, and no one really knows what's going on. I think, how many of you feel that with Earth? That you're starting to feel like you really, really don't know what's going on. You're really getting really close to that point where you're like saying, throwing your hands in the air, like, okay, once again, I have no idea what is going on. Well, this is what's going on with Solaris, because it's not predictable. Even though you have Dr. Gordon, who's a very bright woman, she is terrified of whatever's happening up on the space station. They're all a bit afraid. all of the inhabitants, and we'll see that they've already tried to send a security mission in to calm things down, and the whole security team disappeared. You know, imagine sending troops off to war and your troops disappear. That they don't know what's going on. The security team has disappeared. And so they're sending in a psychologist because they think the last resort is send in a psychologist. We all know that that doesn't work very well either, unless the psychologist happens to be Jesus Christ. Then we've got a little bit of a chance there. If Jesus Christ is our mind training psychologist, then we've got a good leader. We got a good way shower. But as far as typical psychologists, I've been there. Maybe transpersonal psychologists, that's a little closer. But it's, you know, you need JC for your psychologist. So Chris Kelvin's going to go up there, and then you're going to see what he encounters. What I think is great about this movie is taking you into your mind. If any of you have wondered, what exactly is my mind? Is it powerful? Is it deluded? Is it teachable? Can it be saved? Some of us have thought that when we're going through the monkey mind for many, many years, decades, we may have a thought sometime like, is there ever an end to this monkey mind? Is there an out? Is there an escape hatch from this thing called mind? Today we will learn the escape hatch. Jesus will teach us this movie that there is indeed escape from the distorted perceptions of the ego. So, also, this is a relationship movie. And this movie will take on all the themes of relationship, all of the seeming thoughts of interpersonal conflict are shown in this movie. Suicide is dealt with in this movie. And also, we are going to go all the way from suicide and conflict to though lovers be lost, love shall not, and we go all the way with Jesus to and death shall have no dominion. We are being taken on a journey toward eternal life, eternal light and life in God. That's what we've all wanted. This is the most important kind of movie that we would ever want to watch. We don't need more action adventure. We don't need more chase scenes. We don't need more guns and bombs. We need a movie that takes us in our mind to face the light that is in our own mind, and that is the peace and the calm and tranquility that we pray for, that we always pray for. So, the main characters again are Chris Kelvin is the psychologist. Rhea is his wife. Initially, when the movie opens up, Chris is all alone. We don't see Rhea because Rhea's not there. Rhea is no longer in Chris's life. She has committed suicide. So he's a psychologist that's dealing with his own pain about the suicide of his wife, and he's working with clients, and he's going through the same healing process that everyone goes through. But I would say when he is called on this emergency rescue mission, this is going to accelerate his healing process. When you go on a mission to Solaris toward the light, you will face things that you never imagined that you had to face. You will have to face every fear, every doubt, every aspect of what Jesus calls the authority issue will come up. The closer you get to that unconditional love and that blazing light. This is not a common thing that's even talked about on Earth, because if you talk about love in the context of conversations on planet Earth, people are always searching for love. And the fear of love is not often a topic of discussion. Fear is talked about in terms of just itself as being a very debilitating emotion, but it's not usually applied to love, fear of love. Although A Course in Miracles gives us a whole context for that our fear is of redemption, our fear is of awakening, our fear is of the light of heaven, the light of Christ. And when we seem to have issues that involve interpersonal relationships or the body or disease or death of the body or fears and insecurities that are related to the body, that's just a projection of the fear in the mind. So even something like a hurricane or a pandemic or a tsunami, those are all just projections of the fear of knowing who I really am. That the fear of the light is what the fear is. It's an identity fear. It's a fear of true identity. And this movie really shows it. It really goes under the surface. It takes it away from the surface issues. And I think you just have to allow your mind to be taken on a ride, on a journey by Jesus and the Holy Spirit today, because this is really what you've been praying for. You're praying for a journey to the light, which is really just a recognition of the light. It's not a real journey at all. It's just a moment of recognition. And that's what enlightenment is. It's just a moment of complete and total recognition of the unending love of God.
Join David Hoffmeister and the Living Miracles community for an online all-day movie workshop. Each movie is presented by David Hoffmeister, who will offer an inspiring movie setup, make commentary, and provide a space for you to share your movie experience. Join us online. Come for a single movie workshop, or sign up for a monthly membership. All our movie workshops are focused on the non-dual teachings of A Course in Miracles and its practical application in our everyday lives. When? Weekly on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. MDT. Go to livingmiracles.org/events for more information.
Jesus is telling us you're much too tolerant of mind wandering. He's basically saying you believe it would take a miracle for you to calm your mind. And he says, that's exactly right. Exactly right. You do need a miracle. You believe it would take a miracle to find peace, and it will. In fact, he's telling us, in A Course in Miracles, it's going to take lots of them. Bunches and bunches and bunches of miracles to wash away the debris of the unconscious mind, of the unconscious guilt, of unconscious fear that the mind is never fully aware of. It's pushed out of awareness. It's repressed. It's denied. So this scene will come back to us in this movie. Just like we had our movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, it seemed to loop around to one scene. This actually is an important scene that we will see again. But it's not so much the scene that's important, it's what is the state of mind? Because the state of mind is the lesson. We're not here on earth to accomplish something in form. We're not here to try to make the world a better place, even though that seems like a very high, lofty goal. Jesus is saying it's just a projection of past thoughts, and it's entirely neutral to the Holy Spirit. If you ask the Holy Spirit, why is the world getting worse? Or if you would say at times, wow, it seems like the world is getting better, these are meaningless to the Holy Spirit, because to the Holy Spirit, the images are just a means that the Spirit can use to wake you up from a dream. They're not good or bad. They're not good symbols or bad symbols. They're not getting worse and they're not getting better. That's really relaxing. Imagine if you wake up every day and you think, the world is not getting any worse today. And it's not getting any better. So I'm off the hook. I can have some fun today, because the world and my life, as I believe my life is a body, is not getting any better or worse. It's just it's a smokescreen. It's a labyrinth. It's just a bunch of images that don't mean anything at all, but the only helpful use of them is letting the Holy Spirit use them to release them from our mind, not to try to make something. Does that run against our programming? Of course it does. All of us were trained to think of making a better future. I mean, people sometimes tell me, listen, if the world is neutral to the Holy Spirit, then why should I even care and try to make my life in the world better? And I'm like, exactly. That's exactly what I came to. I used to be ambitious. There was a time where people would say, wow, David, you're pretty ambitious. You got something going on there. I had to have some ambition, I think, to stay in university for full time for 10 years. It's not easy to take all those exams and write all those papers and everything if you've got zero ambition. But I have to say, when Jesus got a hold of me, he kind of sucked the ambition out of me. So I was happy to be peaceful. In fact, happy and peace do go together. Happily peaceful. I was happily peaceful with zero ambition. And yet, that's not our conditioning. We have to all say, yeah, this is not what we were raised with. You know, imagine having parents, you know. Are you going to finish your plate? Do it or don't do it. I love you so much, whether you eat your peas or not. Do you want dessert? No? Good. Here. Well, you only ate one spoon of your food, but here's a whole cream pie. You can leave those lima beans lying on your plate. You know, if our parents were unconditionally loving, then we would soon discover that ambition and love don't go together. If you have ambition, you will be ruthless to pursue future goals. The only problem Jesus is telling us is the Holy Instant doesn't have anything to do with future goals. Nothing. And in fact, if you give yourself over to the curriculum and teaching in A Course in Miracles, you will learn how to be still and relax and accept all things exactly as they are. Let all things be exactly as they are. You will not want to lift a finger to change the world, because you see that the world is just thoughts. And why would you want to hold on to thoughts that cover the light, that block the light from awareness? There is no reason to hold on to thoughts that block the light, because the whole purpose is know thyself that the Greeks talked about. The whole purpose is Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and encouraging all of us to forgive and to love God and to truly know our I Am presence that God created us is a perfect spirit. So here we go. He's just at the beginning now of, he's about ready to start to enter to his own dismantling. And that's what makes this movie such a classic, is it's actually showing us a character going through the dismantling process, thinking he's a psychologist who will save the day. Far from it. Now he's being drawn in to face his own grievances, his own fears, his own doubts, which is always what the spiritual journey is about. Okay, so he's told by Snow one piece of advice: if I would lock your door before you go to sleep. You know, it's actually, a lot of times people say, I can't wait to make it through the day so I can sleep, but sleep is actually the problem. In sleep, we generate our nighttime dreams. And you might have heard of Sigmund Freud. You know, Freud had some pretty interesting things to say about the human condition and the mind, but one of the things that Freud got right was that this world is wish fulfillment. So our mind is extremely powerful. And when we sleep at night, obviously, though the body is resting and we can drop into different alpha states or theta states and deeper states of mind, we perceive a dream world. We perceive dreams that seem very real while we're dreaming them. Unless, perchance, you happen to have trained your mind or reached a place of readiness where you have lucid dreams, where you're actually aware that you're dreaming. But for human beings, lucid dreaming is very rare. Most of the times, people just go and they succumb to sleep. They give their mind over and they drop off into sleep. They drift off into sleep, and oftentimes deep REM, random rapid eye movements, and then there's the mind generating these dreams that seem very real. And that's why it's so emotional. If you ever wake up during a nightmare or a night terror, you find yourself sweating, the body's sweating, you find your heart pounding and everything, because it seems very real. But, you know, sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? You know, these dreams are generated by the ego. And then when you seem to wake up from your nighttime dreams, you perceive, you know, the bed, and you perceive the bedroom walls and the bathroom door and the bathroom and so forth. You wake up to another set of dreams, but the world has called these reality. It's not reality. Jesus tells us all your time is spent in dreaming. And the nighttime dreams are no different than what we're going through. Us watching this movie, these are Solaris dreams, Solaris movie gathering workshop dreams. Everything that we're perceiving is generated by the mind and the ego. And then, as I talk about a lot, you have what Jesus calls the dreams that you dream in secret and the dreams that you gave away. What seems to be the world that happens, what people call daily life, that's the dreams that were given away, where it seems to be happening to you beyond your control. And then he says, no, it's the dreams you dream in secret. It's the unconscious dreams. It's the unconscious mind that you're not even aware of that's generating all of the dreams. And you may say you think you have given these dreams away because you have no conscious part in it. And that's true. You don't have a conscious part. While you believe you have an unconscious mind, they are being generated by that unconscious mind. So anything that you experience with the world, good or bad, judged right or wrong, pleasant or unpleasant, is all being generated from the unconscious mind. And basically, now Chris Kelvin, the psychologist, has come closer to Solaris, and Solaris is our light. It's just the divine principle that giving and receiving are the same, that all that I give is given to myself. That it's, you could call it whatever you want. You could call it the law of giving and receiving, the law of karma, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. It's basically that everything is unified and that everything that you give, you receive. And the mind, when it's asleep, it is always either extending or projecting. And when it comes to dreams, that's the projections. The projections of the sleeping mind. So Chris Kelvin now is going to his first night of sleeping there. And the thing about Solaris is the closer you are to the light, the more that the time collapse happens, the more it's very miraculous in that sense, because it will take the thoughts in the mind and it will bring them into awareness in a very rapid way. You know, for most human beings, they're used to the timeline and things playing out over long, long stretches of time. But before Helen Schuckman received the course, she did receive a message. And the message was, this was before the course came, the world is worsening to an alarming extent, and people are being called from all over to accept their part in a prearranged plan. And this is the message she received just before she began scribing A Course in Miracles. Well, imagine if time and space seem to be spread out in a very large way, like a vast, vast projection, and the closer you come to the light, the more things come closer and closer in your mind. Like Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. For Jesus, his state of mind, everything came so together that he could see that it was all simultaneously one instant. Jesus calls this the unholy instant. So all of linear time, all the millenniums, all the galaxies of the cosmos, all the many, many, many solar systems and all the stars and the black holes and all this seemingly vast, vast, gigantic cosmos, Jesus discovered it was all simultaneous. It was one instant. And he calls it the unholy instant. So that's what the awakening is. It's starting to bring your conscious awareness into the realization that there's a tiny little gap in the mind, and this tiny little gap is the ego. And this tiny, tiny little gap is the unholy instant, is what Jesus calls it in the Course. And of course, beyond the unholy instant is the holy instant, is Solaris, is the light, which is just a remembrance that everything is one. But you have to get past the unholy instant. It's like the monster, the dragon that's standing in front of the cave. And if you can get past the monster, inside the cave, it's all light. It's just all total love and light. But you've got to get past that. And the big trick of the monster is the monster makes it seem like in The Wizard of Oz, like it's this big thing on a screen. You know, when Dorothy and her friends go to meet the wizard, there's this big screen with this big skull. I am Oz. Oz has spoken. And, you know, it's this big, terrifying thing. And then finally Toto runs, jumps out of Dorothy's arms and goes over and pulls the curtain. And it's just a frightened little wizard pulling a lot of levers. It's just the ego. And of course, when Toto pulls the curtain, then the wizard right away tries to close the curtain and grab the microphone. Pay no attention to the man behind. You see, that's the ego trying to magnify its voice, make it sound scary and big. And Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of the ego. It's a puff of nothingness. It's just a tiny mad idea. Don't be quivering over a tiny mad idea. It is ingenious. It is taken the power of your Son of God mind, and it's used that power to generate a cosmic smokescreen that seems very big, but it's not. Jesus is saying it's just one tiny instant. He's like saying, come with me and I'll show you. It's nothing. There's no boogeyman. You know, a boogeyman. There's no boogeyman that can stop you from remembering you're the Christ. You're a perfect creation of God. So here we go. Chris is now made it to Solaris. He's asked his questions. He says he sees the symbols. There's some fearful symbols, blood and dead bodies. And now he has locked his door and he's going to sleep. But this is perfect that Chris, he's just missing one letter. He's on his way. Chris is the Christ, but he's got to face what's in his mind, whatever that is. And this is the way to do it. Take a trip to Solaris and just go and draw the covers and get all settled in at night and then face whatever it is that needs to be faced. It's very direct. You got to love it. You know, he's showing us how direct it can be. We don't have to wait till we go off to a planet. You know, you can do this tonight when you get ready. Pull your covers up tonight. Take your Solaris moment. You know, say, all right, I'm ready. Even if you hear a voice that goes, the joke's on you. Don't buy it. You know, okay, here we go. Nighttime in the space station.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hofmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhofmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.